We are beginning Masechta Yoma now. Yoma, really, whatever, means the day, and the Masechta talks about the day of Yom Kippur. Actually, Marsha over here has a long explanation about why the Masechta begins with Shivas Yomim, with 7 days. Tosfos actually points out that sometimes you have some Mishnayos that begin with first the number and others that begin first with what the number is going to be. For example, here we have Shivas Yomim, Kodim Yom Kippurim. In other places, let's say we have at the beginning of Kedushin, Hoish Niknes, Misholish Drachim, and other examples like that. So Tosfos just says sometimes we have one, sometimes we have another. In other words, just a stylistic thing. Marsha talks about, at some length, about the deeper idea behind it. There are seven Yomim Tovim D'oraisa. You have the first day Pesach, the last day Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the first day of Sukkot, and Shmini Atzeres. And Yom Kippur is unique among them. Yom Kippur is the seventh one among them, which is the most Kaddish. It's the day among all of them, and therefore the Tana chose to begin with Shivas Yomim to symbolize that idea. But basically, the Masechta is going to go through the first seven Prokim of it are going to focus on Yom Kippur, on the Avoida of Yom Kippur. The eighth perek is going to focus on Yom Kippur as we observe it in all times and all places, the dinim about the fasting and the other inuyim of Yom Kippur. But the first few prokim are going to go pretty much in order throughout the days, beginning with the preparations during the days before Yom Kippur, and then continuing on with the Seder HaAvoda itself throughout the day of Yom Kippur. In Chassidus also, there's a number of places in Maimonides of the Rebbe where it talks about the idea that if you have 7 days of preparation before Yom Kippur, then it means it represents the idea that Yom Kippur is L'mayla Miseder Hishtalshlus. So you have 7 days represents the normal order of things. Eight represents something going beyond that, which is why we have Mila on the eighth day and a bunch of other things like that. And so you have 7 days of preparation for Yom Kippur, and then you have Yom Kippur itself, which is beyond all of that, which is how it comes about. You know, we're going to focus on in the last perek of the Masechta, at the very end of the perek, we're going to focus on the kapara of Yom Kippur. And when you think about it, kapara and slicho, mechila, this that the Eivishter forgives a person is averis, is also l'mayla meseder ishtalshlus. B'derech hateva, it should be a person did an avera. And that's that, you know, then the effect of that Aveda is permanent and nothing washes it away. And therefore, eventually there has to be punishment for it, Chas v'Shalom. But the Eivishter gives us the concept of Tshuva and the concept of Yom Kippur, which goes higher than all the world. So it goes higher even than Shem Avaya and is able and we're able to clean things up and make it as if the Aveda had never been done, as we'll talk about at the end of the Masechta, Bez Hashem. So therefore, symbolically, this is symbolized by the idea of Yom Kippur being an eighth day following seven previous days. So the Mishnah starts out, Shivas Yomim Kodim Yom Kippurim, for 7 days before Yom Kippur, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol and Beisel Lushkas Parhedrin, they would separate the Kohen Gadol from his house and have him stay in Lushkas Parhedrin. So Lushkas Parhedrin is the name of a chamber in the Beis Mikdash. Eventually, on Daf Ches, we're going to talk about why it was called that. The point is, though, Rashi says, we have to remember the whole Avodah of Yom Kippur has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. We'll talk about it actually at the beginning of the second Perek Bez Hashem, certain parameters in that. There's machlokas rishonim about whether that applies to all avodas during the day or only the ones special for Yom Kippur, or only the ones that are the actual avoda itself and not pre-avodas like Turmas Adeshin. We'll get into that in the second Perek Bez Hashem. But anyway, the point is the Kohen Gadol has to do all the avoda on Yom Kippur, and we want to make sure we're going to see in the Gemara. We're going to start discussing in the Gemara why you need 7 days, why you need 7 days, and we're going to talk about how that relates to the fact that the Kohen Gadol is the one that has to do all the avoda. Anyway, so they separate him and they have him stay in this Lishkas Parhedrin. Separating, first of all, it means, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, he's separated from his wife because of concerns about Tuma. There's also it means also There's several, I should mention, there's several different collections of Tosfos on Or Masechta. We have the regular Tosfos that are printed by the side of the Gemara in its usual place. On the side over here, we have Tosfos Yeshanim, which includes a lot more material and a lot more details that are not in the regular Tosfos. We have to remember there were different Bate Medrash in France and in Germany where the Balei HaTosfos lived and taught. So you have many different collections of Tosfos, and you have other ones as well. So you have on this Masechta, you have what's called Tosfos Ri HaLavan. The Ri HaLavan was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, who afterwards became the Rav of Prague. He also wrote Tosfos on this Masechta. So he explains one thing. Mafrishin Kohen Gadol means Mafrishin in the sense not only that we physically separate him from his house and have him stay in Lushkas Behedrin, but also that we warn him to be careful during those 7 days not to become Tomei because he needs to be able to do the Avodah. Umaskinin like Koyan Acha Tachtav, and they would also designate a different Koyan instead of him to take over Shema Yera by Psul in case a Psul happens to him. In case it happens for what he becomes Tomei or something else happens, which makes him Psul, then you have this understudy, so to speak, will take over. And mind you, I mean, usually you have the scan. It's usually the job of the scan, the deputy Kohen Gadol, to take over when the Kohen Gadol is unavailable. And there are, in fact, some of the Mephoshim that say that the Kohen Acher over here is the scan. But then there are others who mention that for various reasons it might not be, and it might just be a regular Kohen Hedyot. It might just be a regular Kohen Hedyot who is designated as like an understudy for the Kohen Gadol in case the Kohen Gadol becomes Tomei or whatever, then this person will take over. Most of the Mephoshim say that we don't mean that we have to separate him as well. It's enough that we designate him and tell him to be careful about becoming Tomei, but he doesn't have to physically separate from his wife and from his house like the Kohen Gadol does, as we'll see later in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Isha Acheres Maskinin Lo. Rabbi Yehuda says we also have to arrange a second wife for the Kohen Gadol, Shema Tomus Ishto, because otherwise, what if his wife dies on Yom Kippur, and he has to be married in order to be able to do the Avodah. Shenema, the pasuk says, "V'chippur bade uva'ad beisai," that the Kohen Gadol should do kapara, should atone for himself and for beisai, where beisai zu ishtai. The word beisai means his wife. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, for example, where Rabbi Yossi says that I never called my wife, I always called her my house, because the wife is the mainstay of the house. So we have to arrange that he has a second wife in case his wife dies and he needs to be married in order to do the avodah. Tosfos Yeshanim actually discusses over here: having a wife is ma'akiv? If that's the case, then really we should be. Then really, when we say we arrange for a second koyan to be an understudy, then we should be arranging a second wife for him as well. Tosfos Yeshanim says it's not actually ma'akiv necessarily. Actually Tosfos Yeshanim isn't sure whether it's ma'akiv or not. Maybe it's not, and that's why we don't have to arrange one for the second one, or maybe it is, but fine, the same way as the Gemara is going to say that there's a limit how much we have to be concerned that people are going to die or become pasul, maybe the same thing over here. Maybe we don't have to go so far as to worry about that the Kohen Gadol's wife may die and that this other guy, the understudy, that his wife might die as well. And by the way, Tosfos Yeshanim explains also when we say that we have to arrange a second Koyan instead, besides that we're telling him to be careful about becoming Tomei, Tosfos Yeshanim also says that we have to fit him for Big Day Zahav, because in case he does end up taking over for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, he's going to need a set of Big Day Zahav that fit him. The Big Day Kohuna have to fit the Koyan exactly. So part of this maskinin would be to measure him for Big Day Zahav in case that's necessary. As we know, on Yom Kippur, you have the Kohen Gadol, wears Big Day Zahav for some of the Avoidas, and Big Day Lavan, the four white clothes, the four linen clothes, for others. As we go through the Masechta, we'll see which ones are which. So part of the idea of arranging this understudy Kohen is to fit him for Big Day Zahav. Big Day Lavan, we don't really need to, because being a Kohen Hedyot, he wears Big Day Lavan throughout the rest of the year anyhow, so we don't really need to fit him for a new set. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda again is saying that the Kohen Gadol needs to be married, and therefore we have to arrange a second wife for him, and we'll see, the Gemara will discuss on Daf Yud Gimel how exactly we arrange this. But the Chacham told Rabbi Yehuda, "Im kenein l'davar seif." If you're worried about that, that you're concerned about that his wife might die, then there's no end to the matter. Then it shouldn't just be enough to arrange a second wife. You should also need to arrange a third and a fourth and whatever in case a bunch of them might die. So in the Gemara, we'll eventually see on Daf Yud Gimel or so, we'll see what Rabbi Yehuda would answer to that. But therefore, in other words, the Chachamim say, Tuma, we're concerned about, therefore we have to have a second Kohen ready to take the place of the Kohen Gadol, but we don't need a second wife. Again, as Tosfos Yeshanim says, maybe even this business about having a wife is not active anyway, and in that case, then it's enough that he has one. We don't have to worry about what happens if she dies. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Now, we're saying in our Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol is separated for 7 days before Yom Kippur. You have a similar thing when it comes to the Parah Aduma, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the comparison between the Parah Aduma and the comparison and the contrast between what's done before the Kohen, before they bring a new Parah Aduma versus before Yom Kippur, and then talk about the Psukim where we learn this from. So the Gemara says Tanan Hasam. We learn in a Mishnah in Masecht Parah, Shivas Yomim Kodim Srefes Parah, 7 days before they burnt a new Parah Aduma, Hoyim Afrishin Koyin Asurifes Parah, they would separate the Koyin who's going to burn the Parah Aduma. A Tosfos Rosh Hashanah discusses when we say Koyin, does it have to dafka be a Koyin Gadol? Can it be a Koyin Hedyot? The original Parah Aduma of Moshe Rabbeinu's times was actually done by a Koyin Hedyot. It was done by a Lazar HaKoyin. But future ones, do they dafka have to be done by the Kohen Gadol? Can they be kosher by any Kohen? Why does it use the word Kohen rather than Kohen Gadol? Whatever. Anyway, they separate this Kohen who's going to be burning the Parah Aduma, Mi Besai, again, like before Yom Kippur, he's separated from his house. But over here, unlike in our Mishnah with Yom Kippur, where he's taken to Lishkas Parhedrin, here it's the Lishka Shal Pnei Abirat Tzfoina Mizracha. Here he's going to a chamber which is on the northeast side in front of the Bira. And we'll see soon what the Bira is. Velishkas Besa Evan, Hoysa Nikris, this chamber was called the house of the stone. It was called the chamber of the house of the stone. Veloma Nikrishma Lishkas Besa Evan. Why is it called the chamber of the house of the stone? Shekol Ma'aseha, because everything involved with the Parah Aduma uses B'klei Glolim, B'klei Avonim, and B'klei Adama. All the utensils that are used in connection with the Parah Aduma are all ones that are not able to be Mekabel Tumah. They're Klei Glolim, which Rashi explains over here and in a few other places means Kalim made out of animal dung that was dried and made into Kalim. There's one place in the Sechta Shabbos where Rashi says that it means marble. There are a couple of other Rishonim who learn that way as well, that it means marble. In any case, marble is not Mekabel Tumah, neither are Kalim made out of animal dung. Also, B'klei Avonim, or they use stone Kalim, or B'klei Adama, or they use Kalim made out of earth that was not fired in an oven. Rashi describes like you have soft stone, like chalk, for example, where they can carve kalim out of it that don't need to be fired in an oven. So those kinds of kalim, all those kinds of kalim are not Mekabel Tumah, and therefore in connection with the Parah Adumah, they use such kalim. Actually, Tosfos points out that we're talking about during the days when we're preparing for making the Parah Adumah, we make sure to use such kalim. When we fill up a container of water and put the ashes of the Parah Adumah into it, then it can be any kind of container. Then it can be a container that is Mekabel Tumah as well, as long as obviously you made it tahor. So therefore, because they used stone kalim over there, therefore they called it Lishkas Besa Evan. They found, for example, they found an archaeological dig in Yerushalayim. They found a house before Churban Bayis Sheni was inhabited by Kohanim, and they found all the kalim that they found over there were made out of stone, and they realized that's why, based similar to our Mishnah, Kohanim in general, not just during these 7 days before the Parah Adumah, but in general, many times, Kohanim, since they have to be careful with Tumah V'Tahara, would make sure to use kalim of stoneware and other such things that are not Mekabel Tumah, and that's why all the dishes and utensils and everything in this house were made like that. So over here, we're saying the same idea, is we want to make absolutely certain that there's no possibility of Tumah. Now, the Gemara says, my timer. So why is that? Why do we have to be so extra concerned to not use kalim that could possibly become tamei? So like this, kiven de tvul yom kosher b'parah. A tvul yom is able to prepare, is able to burn the parah aduma. You don't need that. You don't need that the kohen who's preparing the parah aduma, who's burning it. You don't need that he should be completely tahor. It's good enough if he. It's good enough if he's a tvul yom. Even though tvul yom is not fully tahor, but he's tahor enough as far as parah aduma. Later on, in the fourth parak of our Masechta, we're going to have a sugya about the parah aduma, and we're going to learn there how we know this. And detnan, and we know this because we learn in another Mishnah in parah, metamin hoyu akoyin asodof as a parah. They used to make tomei the koyin who was going to burn the parah aduma, umatbilin oisai, and then they would have him toivel, and that was lahoitzi miliban shal tzedukim. That was in order to deliberately show against what the tzedukim think. Show your own member urve hashemesh hoisinasis. The tzedukim claimed that the parah aduma could be prepared only by somebody who had head of shemesh, only somebody who was 100% tahor, not being a tevul yom. So bedavka, then the chachamim would make the kohen gadol or the kohen whatever who's doing the parah aduma, they would davka make him tamei in order to demonstrate that, and then they would have him tovel in order to demonstrate that he's going to do the parah aduma as a tevul yom, and that is the halacha. So once they did that, once the chachamim made that takana that it's going to be done by a tevul yom, then takinu le'rabbonah. So now we have a problem. Now the flip side of it is everybody's going to start thinking, well, in that case, if we don't have to worry about a tevul yom during the parah aduma, then bechlal we don't have to be careful about tumah v'tahara in connection with it. We can use kalim that are tamei, people that are tamei, etc., etc. And we don't want that. Therefore, takinu le'rabbonah, play glolim, play avonim, play adama. So now the chachamim followed that up with a takana that all the kalim that are used in the days leading up to the parah aduma should be kalim that are not makabel tuma, ki heichid lelezalzalaba. This way people are not careless with the parah aduma. People are going to realize that you still have to be very, very careful with tuma v'tara as it relates to the parah aduma. As a matter of fact, actually, in various places in Shas, particularly at the end of Chagiga, and in some other places, the Gemara describes, the Mishnayos and the Gemara describe an enormous amount of precautions and precautions on top of precautions that they take to make sure that there's no possibility of tumma with the parah aduma. All of this is based on this that we're saying over here, that because we're going to have it done by tevul yom, therefore we want to make sure that people don't get careless with tumma v'tahara as far as it. What do we mean, by the way, when we say that we're metame the kohen? Tosfos over here says that it doesn't. Tosfos Yishanim say doesn't mean that they're actually metame him with something like a tumah d'oraisa, like a sheretz or something like that. I mean, come on, that's going a little too far to be metame him with a tumah d'oraisa. What it means is they would be metame him with a tumah d'rabbanan. Now again, what it is one of the milus, one of the special rules that we have in connection with parah aduma is that anything and anyone, even if they just toveled, is considered tomei relative to the parah aduma, unless it was toveled and unless it was prepared specifically for the parah aduma. So in other words, meaning that if you have a bunch of people that are tahor, but none of them have toveled for the parah aduma, then they're considered midrabanan, they're considered tomei. Therefore, what they would do is they would have somebody touch the kohen. Tosfos brings from a Mishnah in Parah over there that the Zkenim, the members of the Sanhedrin who were there supervising the procedure, would put their hands on the kohen gadol's head, and then having touched him, they make him tomei with this tumah d'rabbanan, and then they tell him go tovel, and that way he's a tvul yom. In fact, Tosfos Yishanim brings from a braisa that tells about how one time there was a kohen gadol who was a tzeduki who was preparing a parah aduma, and being a tzeduki, he didn't want to go through this thing of being a tevul yom and toveling. He figured, like the tzedukim do, that we need to be completely tahor. So Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, so obviously he's not going to allow people to put their hands on his head deliberately, but Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai is there supervising it. So Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai gets smart. He starts flattering him. You're so deserving of being kohen gadol, etc. Let me put my hands on your head and give you a bracha or something. And then, having done that, then he tells him, now you really should tovel. And that way, they actually made him tovel after all. So that's Tosfos, and Tosfos Yishanim learned that way. On the other hand, the Rambam and some other Rishonim say that no, it means they would actually be metame him with a tumah d'oraisa. Big deal. The fact is, he's toveling afterwards, so it doesn't matter if it was a tumah d'oraisa or not. Okay. Next. So we said that we said that the chamber where this kohen is staying for the week before he prepares the parah aduma is on the northeast. So my shnatz afoina mizracha, Yep is on the northeast among all the sides. So like this, kiven dechatasi. The para adruma is the para adruma is a chatas. It's not truly a chatas. It's shechted outside the Beis Mikdash, but the pasuk does call it chatas. L'may nida chatasi. And in fact, there are various dinim about the para adruma that we learn from the fact that it's called chatas. The chatas tzunat safon, a real actual chatas would have to be shechted on the north side of the azara. So therefore, we have a chamber that's on the north side in order to remind him of that. And and then when it comes to sprinkling the Parah Adumah is prepared on Har HaZeisim opposite the Beis Mikdash. Part of the procedure is that the Kohen, after he shechts the Parah Adumah, he takes the blood and sprinkles it seven times in the direction of the Beis Mikdash. So he's standing there on Har HaZeisim, he can see across to the front of the Heichel, and he sprinkles the blood seven times. In fact, the Mishnah in Midas tells us for that reason, the eastern wall of the Har HaBayis was made lower than the other walls, so that the Kohen has a clear line of sight to the front of the Heichel. Otherwise the walls would block him. Anyway, so that means, in other words, so what is it? He's standing in the east and facing in the direction of the east side of the, he's facing towards the east side of the Heichel and sprinkling. So we have the Parah Adumah, therefore, is associated with north and with east. Therefore, Takinu Le'Rabbanan Lishka Tzafona Mizracha, therefore, the Chachamim arranged that he should be, for the 7 days before it, he should be in a chamber that's on the northeast side, Ki Heichel Lehev Elah HaKera. So this way, everybody realizes, this way there's a Heker, that everybody should realize that he's there in order to be doing the Parah Adumah, and that way he's going to be careful and think into, make sure that he's Zoriz, make sure that he's careful to avoid any hint of Tumah, make sure that he knows the procedure inside out, etc. So this way, being in Tzfonis Mizrachis is going to remind him of that point. In fact, Tosfos points out, for that reason, now why don't we use that chamber for the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur as well? So the point is exactly that. We want there to be a Heker. We want that this chamber is reserved for the Parah Adumah. And that way, if you put the Kohen Gadol there as well, then it's not as much as a Heker. Also, Tosfos says another reason. It's possible that we're going to see in a second now what the Bira is. When we say that this Lishka for the Parah Adumah is in front of the Bira, we're going to see in the Gemara in a second what the Bira is. One possibility is that this chamber was actually outside the Azara, someplace on the Har HaBayis. So therefore, fine, the Parah Adumah is brought outside the Azara, therefore it's appropriate enough that a chamber for it should be outside the Azara too. On the other hand, Yom Kippur, where he's going to be doing the Avodah, Lefnai V'Lefnim, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so then we want him to be in a chamber which is in the Kodesh, which is in the Azara. Which, by the way, gets into an interesting side point also about if this chamber is in the Azara, how is the Kohen Gadol allowed to sit in there? How is he allowed to sleep in there, etc.? I mean, on the face of it, you're not allowed to sit, and you're certainly not allowed to sleep in the Azara. So there's a couple of possibilities that different Mefarshim talk about. One is that, in fact, maybe, I think Tosfos themselves discusses later in the Perek, that the chamber actually had an entrance towards the Azara and an entrance towards the Chayil. And the din is, in that case, half of the chamber is considered Kodesh and half is considered Chayil. So in that case, he could sit and he could sleep in the Chayil half, but it's still open to the Kodesh. Another possibility, some Mefarshim say, is actually since there. I mean, there's no choice in the matter. He has to stay there for 7 days, Xeris HaKosev, as we're going to talk about now. During 7 days, he physically has to be able to sit down and sleep and so forth. So therefore, maybe we waive the usual rules and we say that he'll be able to sit in there, since after all, it is only a chamber. It's not in the actual Azara. It's not actually in the open space of the Azara itself. Okay. The last thing we need to figure out from that Mishnah is my Bira. We said that this chamber was in front of the Bira. What is Bira? There was a certain area on the Har HaBayis that was called Bira, and this chamber was next to it or in front of it. Says no, the entire Beis Mikdash is called Bira. As we find a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim where David refers to the Beis Mikdash as the Bira which I've prepared. Now, David himself didn't bring it, didn't build it, but he prepared all the material for it and found the spot in Goyon Arav Nayivosi. So he refers to the Beis HaMikdash as Bira. So in other words, it comes out, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that the chamber was someplace on the Har HaBayis outside the Azara. And according to Rosh Lakish, not necessarily, since the whole Beis HaMikdash complex is called Bira, then this chamber could have been anywhere in it. Okay. Now that we established all of that, that there has to be 7 days of separation in a certain lishka before a kohen or a kohen gadol does a parah aduma, and also before he does the avodah of Yom Kippur, now we have to deal with, where do we learn all this from? So menahani mili, where do we learn all this from, that there has to be 7 days before each one of them? So Omer of Manyumi Bachilkiya, Omer of Machseya Ba'idi, Omer of Yechnan, Omakra, because the Pasuk says, Kasha also at the end of the Miluim, you have the 7 days of Miluim that are described in Parshas Tzav, and then in Parshas Shemini you have the continuation, the eighth day, and near the end of the parsha, Hashem tells Moshe, who in turn tells Aaron and his sons, Kasha also by Yom Hazeh, as he did on this day, meaning with the Miluim, where they had to stay away from home 7 days, because you have a few psukim earlier where it says, of Pesach Oyomoyed Keshfu Yom Valayla Vagomer, that you should sit and be by the door of the Oyomoyed by day and by night. In other words, they had to spend 7 days in the Azara, in the Chotzer of the Mishkan. So just as was done by Yom Hazeh for this day, meaning in preparation for the eighth day of Miluim, Siva Hashem Lasseis, Hashem is commanded to do L'chaper Aleichem, to be mechaper for you. So therefore, so we learn from those extra words in the Psukim, Lasseis Eila Maise Parda. The word Lasseis refers to preparing the Parda Adroma. L'chaper Eila Maise Yemek Purim. And the word L'chaper means Yom Kippur. So it means that before you do a Parda Adroma, and before you do the Avodah of Yom Kippur, you have to have 7 days of staying in the Azara, just like Aaron and his sons did. Okay, so the Gemara says, let's figure that out. The Shlema Kule Krab Para Lamitokam. Now, we can understand why we can't say that the whole Pasuk is not referring just to the Para Aduma. Maybe we should say, how do we know that we're being Marba two different things over there, the Para and Yom Kippur? Maybe we could have thought that it's only the Para. No, obviously not, because Lachaper, because after all, the Pasuk is saying Lachaper, Para La Bas Kaparahi. The Parah is not fundamentally there for Kapara. Now, to a certain extent, it is. We have Rashi mentions at the beginning of Parshas Chukas that it's Mechaper for Maiser Egel. You have the expression that the Gemara says that Ma Parah Mecha, that you have right after that. It talks about the death of Miriam to teach us Ma Parah Mechaperes af Mrs. Tzadikim Mechaperes, which the Alter Rebbe talks about in Igeres Chof Ches in Tanya. So there is a certain kapara associated with the Parah Aduma, but it's not really like Yom Kippur, where you have this actual Avedus that they did during the past year, which the Parah Aduma cleans up. Either the idea is, some of the Mefarshim say, fundamentally, the Parah Aduma is there for Tumah V'Tahara. Incidentally, it also is a kapara, but that's not its primary purpose, unlike the Korbanos of Yom Kippur. Or another possibility is that yes, it's mechaper for the Maaser Egel, but that's an Aveda that continues throughout all the generations, and the effects of it continue throughout all the generations. That's not the kind of kapara where the Pasuk evidently is talking about over here, where we're talking about sort of a short-term kapara for Avedas that were done recently, like during the last year. So therefore, so we can't assume that that lechaper in the Pasuk refers to the Parah Aduma, necessarily it has to refer to Yom Kippur. But maybe the entire pasuk is referring to Yom Kippur. Maybe, in other words, both the Lasis and Lachaper are referring to Yom Kippur, which Tosfos says, in that case, why have two expressions? Because what we're thinking is, if it only said Lachaper by itself, then you would think, as the Gemara is going to say on Amud Beis, that maybe it refers to all the Korbanos, and only Lasis would mean Para. So therefore, maybe Lasis, Lachaper, refers specifically to Yom Kippur, where you have both factors, you're doing a whole procedure of Yom Kippur, the whole Avodah of Yom Kippur, and you're being Mechaper. But maybe the whole thing before is Yom Kippur. So how do we see from that pasuk that you have to do the 7 days also before the Parah Aduma? So the answer is, the Gemara says, Amri. So the Bnei HaYeshiva answered, Yalef Tziva Tziva. We make a Gzeira Shava on the word Tziva. Ksiva Chatziva Hashem Lasses. Here we're saying that Hashem commanded to do. Uchtiva Asem Zois Chokas HaTorah. Hashem Tziva Hashem Lemer. So therefore, malahalam pora, afkan pora. So over there, the tziva Hashem lema is referring to the pora aduma. The same way over here, it's tziva Hashem lasis. So it's not just that the fact that the word, it's not just the word that we have the word lasis. Yes, the word lasis and lachaper, like Tosfos says, conceivably could have meant Yom Kippur, but because it also says tziva, then therefore it means also the pora aduma. And therefore, makan prisha, afkan prisha. And then we're saying, just like over here by the Miluyim, they needed 7 days of separation. So also by the Parah Adumah, they also need 7 days of separation because of that Gzeirah Shavah of Tziva. So the Gemara asks, Ve'ema Tziva Tziva Diyem Kippurim. Okay, but still, who says that the Tziva is going from Parah Adumah to, is going from Miluyim to Parah Adumah? Maybe it's going from Miluyim to Yom Kippur specifically. Now we have, many times, you know, we know that Ein Adam Don Gzeirah Shavah Me'atzmei, a person can't come up with a Gzeirah Shavah on their own. But many times you have that only some of the details of a Gzeirah Shavah were transmitted by Masorah, and then the Chachamim themselves have to figure out the rest of it. So in this case, they knew that there was a Gzeirah Shavah on the word Tziva, but they're not told where the other hat, where the other end of the Gzeirah Shavah is. So instead of assuming that the other end is Zos Chukas HaTorah Shet Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, which is by the Parah Adumah, maybe it's by the Yom Kippurim. Dichtiv Vayaska Shet Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, as it says at the end, that Aaron did as Hashem commanded Moshe. So therefore, so that would refer specifically to Yom Kippur. So the Gemara answer is done in Tziva Delifnei Asiyah with Tziva Delifnei Asiyah. Yes, but the difference is that we have to learn a tziva that comes before the actual doing from another tziva that also is before the actual doing. Meaning, when it comes to the Yemei HaMiluyim, Moshe is telling Aaron and his sons at the beginning that just as Hashem, that Hashem is telling you tziva Hashem lasis, Hashem is telling you to do now, to do 7 days of prisha in order to be prepared for the Yom HaShmini when you're going to start functioning as actual kohenim. So the tziva comes before the actual doing of it. By the Parah Adumah also, Zos Chukas HaTorah, Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, it comes before the actual doing, before they're actually doing and bringing the Parah Adumah, the Eibishter is giving Moshe the instructions. When it comes to Vayaska Shetziva Hashem Es Moshe, it's the other way around. You have the entire perek over there in Achrimos is explaining how the avodah of Yom Kippur should be done. And then we're saying later on, Aaron did as Hashem commanded Moshe. So that's after Asiyah. So done in Tziva Delifnei Asiyah, Mitziva Delifnei Asiyah. We're going to have to learn a Tziva that comes before the doing from another Tziva that comes before the doing. And done in Tziva Delachra Asiyah, Mitziva Delifnei Asiyah. We can't learn a Gzeirah Shavah of a Tziva that takes place after the doing from one before it. So therefore, if we have a choice where the other end of the Gzeirah Shavah from Miluim should be, then we're going to assume it's by Parah Adumah, which is similar in being before Asiyah rather than Yom Kippur, which is only La'achra Asiyah. Okay, Tosfos gets into a long discussion over here. How could the Gemara even have a Hava Amina that we're learning only Yom Kippur? Again, you have the question, then why do we have Tziva and Lasis and Lachaper? And Tosfos gets into a long discussion of how exactly the Gemara is thinking throughout the sugi over here, how we might have thought to Darshan if we said it wasn't referring to the Parah Adumah, we would have said that it refers to Yom Kippur and it refers to other Korbanos, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, but not to the Parah Adumah at all. And then he goes into a long discussion about the ins and outs of how exactly the Gemara would have thought to understand all the three things we have over here, the Gzeirah Shavah for Tziva and the word Lasis and the word Lachaper. We still conceivably could have thought that it means not the Parah Adumah. And that's why we need the logic to be able to tell us that if we have a Gzeirah Shavah of Tziva and the other end of the Gzeirah Shavah has to be by the Parah Adumah. Okay. So the Gemara continues, Ve'ema Tziva de Korbanos. Okay, but maybe the Tziva that should be the other end of the Gzeirah Shavah is the Tziva that says about Korbanos, Dichtiv Yom Tzavoisoyes Bnei Yisrael, where the Pasuk says on the day that Hashem commanded Bnei Yisrael to bring Korbanos, so we see that there's a Tziva before the Asiyah, before the actual doing. So then the idea would be, in other words, that any Kohen who's going to be serving in the Bais Mikdash and is going to be bringing Korbanos is going to have Prisha for 7 days, at least for the Korbanos Tzibur, Rashi says. The answer is, done in Tziva Mitziva, then done in Tzavoyse Mitziva. If we're going to make a Gzeirah Shavah on the word Tziva, the word has to be exact. It has to be the exact form Tziva, not Tzavoyse, which fine, it's the same Shodesh, but it is a different form of the word. So the Gemara says, or my naftamina. Why? Why should that be a difference? We see that Gzeira Shava sometimes can be done even on words that are completely different. We have, in connection with, it's in connection with this week's parasha, Parashas Tezriya Metzora, we have the story over there about the house with Tzaras. Now, the Pasuk spells out some of the details of what you do with the house with Tzaras. It doesn't spell out all the details. In fact, the Rambam summarizes it in Hilchos Tumas Tzaras. The Rambam says that most of the dinim about houses with Tzaras are from Divrei Kabbalah. They're not unlike with Tzaras of people and of clothes, where most of the details are spelled out in Psukim. With Tzaras of houses, most of it is in Torah Shabbat Peh. And one detail is like this. You have a case where the, you have a case which is described in the Pasuk, where the Kohen locks up the house for a week, and then he comes back at the end of the first week, and he finds that the Tzaras has spread. So then the Pasuk tells us, what do? He scrapes off the plaster in that area. He takes out the stones that have the Tzaras on them, replaces them with new stones, replasters it, and closes up the house and waits another week to see what happens. Now, so in that connection, the Pasuk says, Vishav HaKoyin, that the Koyin returns, meaning after the first week, and he sees that the Tzaras has spread, and then we're saying we do that. We take out the old stones, we put in new stones and replaster. Now, what happens? Now, a couple of psukim later, it says, Uvo HaKoyin. It says the Koyin comes, and he sees that the Tzaras has spread, and then you demolish the house. Now, does that mean... Now, what happens then? So suppose that at the end of the first week, nothing happened. The Tzaras is still there, but it didn't get any bigger. Now he comes, so he locks up the house for another week. Now he comes at the end of the second week and finds that it's spread. If you just read the Pasuk according to the simple meaning, you would say at that point, you tear down the house. But no, this Gzeira Shavah, Shavah Koyin, Uvah Koyin, even though the word Shav and Ba are completely different to Shoshim, we learn a Gzeira Shavah that if this is the first time it's spreading at the end of the second weeks, that at the end of the second week, then you do the same thing as you would have done at the end of the first week if it had spread then. You take out the stones, you put in new stones, and you replaster. When do you demolish the house? Only if it spreads again at the end of the third week, or if it's spread at the end of the first week and the second week. So we learn from that Gzeira Shavah. So we learn from that Gzeira Shavah to not take the Pasuk at face value and to understand that there's a difference between whether it first spread at the end of the second week or whether this is the second time it's spreading. Anyway, we see Zuhi Shiva, Zuhi Bia. The same rules apply to Shiva, which is the first time he comes back, and to Bia when he comes the second time at the end of the second week. So we see that we make a Gzeira Shavah between words that are not even the same word. So then in that case, what's the problem with a Gzeira Shavah between Siva and Savoisai? The answer is Hanimila Hecha Deleka de Domile. That would only apply when you have no other word that's available for Gzeira Shavah, and we have the Kabbalah. There has to be Gzeira Shavah over here. Then we'll have to use a different word, even if it's a different form of the word, and even if it's a different word altogether, like over here with Shiva and Bia. Aval Hecha de Ikha de Domile. But if you have a word that's identical to the original word and you have a different one which is not identical, then mididamila yafin, and then we're going to learn from the one that's identical. So here it's true we could have thought to say that the Gzeira Shavah is to tzavoisai, but since we have the word siva by par adoma, then instead we're going to assume that that's where the other end of the Gzeira Shavah is. So we learn from Miluim to Parah Adoma that you need 7 days of preparation. We don't learn to other korbanos, such as korbanos tzibur, that you should need 7 days of preparation of prisha before that. Okay, so that takes care of that. That's how we know that the Parah Adoma you need 7 days of preparation for. Next, we said l'chaper elamaisi yom kippurim. We said the word l'chaper in that pasuk by the Miluim refers to the kapara of Yom Kippur. So again, the question is, ve'ema kapara de korbanos. Who says that the kapara is referring to the kapara of Yom Kippur? Maybe it means the kapara of korbanos. And here Rashi changes from what he said before. Before Rashi had said that we're talking about korbanos tzibur, now Rashi switches and said maybe we're even talking about korbanos yachid. Because after all, you have the expression many times about korbanos yachid, v'chipur olav hakoyin. So maybe it means that when a korban yachid is going to be brought, then the kohen who's going to be doing that needs prisha in advance. Now, why in fact is Rashi changing his mind? Why did Rashi before mention korbanos tzibur and now he's mentioning korbanos yachid? So a couple of the achronim, couple of the Achronim on the Gemara over here talk about and give various answers. One thing is, now that we're trying to say, before we were just saying that we're gonna try to learn a Gzeira Shava to the Korbanos, and then we said that in that case the Gzeira Shava is gonna have to refer specifically to the Korbanos Tzibur. There's no reason to assume that it should refer particularly to Korbanos Yachid. But now when we're talking about the idea that we should have maybe Prisha for 7 days, and we should say that the word Lachaper, when we're going to say that the word lachaper refers to karbonus, then we're going to assume by karbonus yachid there's much more kapara over and over. By karbonus yachid, it says that there should be kapara, which you don't really have by the karbonus tzibur. You don't really have as much by the karbonus tzibur. And the vort is, the Gemara is going to answer that the difference is Korbanos Yochid you have every day, Korbanos Tzibur you don't really have every day. So therefore, the Gemara couldn't assume that we mean, therefore, the answer of the Gemara that we can't be doing something that would apply every day would better apply to Korbanos Yochid. Okay, so how do we know? Maybe every time a Kohen is going to be doing a Korban, he has to have Prisha for 7 days in advance. So the Gemara says, how could you think that? Mia didn't hate Koyan Mislami the Boyle Prisha. How are we going to know in advance which Koyan is going to end up doing the Avoida? As we're going to learn in the second paragraph, they had Piosis, they had a counting of fingers to determine at random which Koyan would do the Avoida any given day. So you don't know in advance which Koyan is going to be doing the Avoida. How could you have Prisha for him? So the Gemara says, Amri, so they said, Alam Aloy. Still, why not? What we should do is, we know that each mishmer is divided into several bate of, so each one would serve 1 day of the week. So fine, what we do is, we know in advance what the seder of the mishmeres is, we know what the seder of the bate of is. So we know, for example, Sunday of next week, the first base of the Mishmar of Yehoyoriv, let's say, which is the first Mishmar, is going to be serving in the Bais Mikdash. So fine, beginning from this Sunday, we have all the members of that base of do Prisha. And that way, whichever one of them happens to do the Avoida the following Sunday, or for the Avoida for any given Korban, is going to have had Prisha. The answer is still, we don't do that. And we don't do that because donin davar shekavua loizman mi davar shekavua loizman. Because what we're going to do is we're going to learn something that has a fixed time from something else which has a fixed time. We're going to say the miluim had a fixed time. There was a certain time. There were the last 7 days of Adar and then Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So there's a fixed time for it. Yom Kippur, of course, is also a fixed time. As opposed to Korbanos, at least when we're talking now, again, we're talking about Korbanos Yachid. There's no fixed time for it. So soon the Gemara is going to ask, what about the Yomim Tovim, which have fixed times also? But right now we're talking about that at least the difference is it can't be that we're talking about Korbanos Yachid because La Puki Korbanos to Chol Yomim Isnu, as opposed to Korbanos Yachid, which are brought every day. There's no particular time for such Korbanos. Therefore, there's no reason to assume that the limud from that the word Lachaper is going to refer to them. Because after all, it has to be something similar to the kapara of the miluim, which had a fixed time. Okay, the Gemara asks the Emer Regolim. Okay, so maybe it means the Korbanos of the Regolim. So going back to the idea that we mean the Korbanos Tzibur. So maybe, for example, the Kohenim who are going to be bringing the Korbanos on the first day Pesach, let's say. So they would have to have Prisha for a week before Pesach. And again, I mean, the obvious answer would be like the Gemara said before, that we don't know which Kohen is going to be doing the Avoda. Again, the answer could be all of them might have to do Prisha, although some of them, of course, point out it might be a little harder to do that, seeing as how on the Yomim Tovim, on the Shalosh Regolim, all the Mishmaris are equally eligible to do the Avoda. Usually during the rest of the year, you have only the Mishmar of this week and only the base of that day is eligible to do the Avoda, but on the Yom Tovim, all the Mishmaris serve equally. So what are you going to say? You're going to make all 24 Mishmaris of Kohenim go into Prisha. It would be hard, but still, maybe that's what it means. Maybe the Pasuk is telling us, Gzeiras HaKosev from Lachaper, that you have to do that. The Korbanos of the Yom Tovim, after all, are meant for Kapara as well. In particular, every Rosh Chodesh and every Yom Tov, we have a Seer Izim. We have a goat that's brought as a Chatas, and the Mishnah and the Gemara explain at the beginning of the Masecht of Shavuos that those accomplished Kapara for various cases of Tumas Mikdash for Kachav. So maybe what it means, and again, those are Kavur Leizman, each one has a fixed time. So maybe the Pasuk is telling us not necessarily specifically about Yom Kippur, but in general, about any time you bring Karbonas Tzibur for Kapara, that you need to have Prisha of a week ahead of time. The answer is, Don in Dovah Shenoyek Pa'am Achaz Bashana, Mi Dovah Anoyek Pa'am Achaz Bashana. Yes, but again, we have to use some logic over here. We're going to learn something that takes place only once a year from something that takes place only once a year. The Miluim was one time in that year when it took place. Now, I mean, obviously you could say the Miluim is a one-time thing in history, but nevertheless, so the Ritva actually explains what it is. It's not just, it wasn't just a one-time thing in history. Every time a new Beis Hamikdash is inaugurated, then you need Miluim for it. So they had by the Mishkan, they had by the first Beis Hamikdash, there was Korbanos Miluim. By the second Beis Hamikdash in Ezra's times, they also did. And the third Beis Hamikdash, Shibonim B'Hedav Yamenu, is also going to have. Yechezkel describes some unusual korbanos that are going to be brought. And the Rambam, based on a Gemara in Menachos, says that those are actually korbanos miluim. So you do need miluim for each time that there's a new Beis Hamikdash. And in that sense, each one is unique during its year. You have one time during that year when you have miluim. So you're going to learn from that to Yom Kippur, which is also only one time a year. La Puki Regolim, the La Pamachas Mashana Ninu, as opposed to the Yom Tovim. You have three Regolim in the year, so therefore we can't say that we're learning from the Miluim to them. So the Gemara says, why? So what? Ve'emer Regol Achad. Okay, so maybe what you say is out of the Shalosh Regolim, there's one particular Regol for which you need Prisha 7 days. So you're going to argue that, oh, if you have three of them, we don't know which one. And obviously, we can't be marba all three of them because, again, we have to have, it has to be one, something that's only once a year. So fine, we'll use some logic. It could be, we could argue that it could be Pesach because, after all, that's listed first in the Pasuk. So therefore, it's more logical maybe that we should, maybe the Torah should have left it to the Chachamim to say that every time we have a list of the Yom Tovim in the Pasuk, it always begins with Pesach, therefore it's the most important. Or you could have a svara to say that it would be Sukkos, as it has more mitzvahs. You have Sukkah and Lulav and Arava and Nusach HaMayim. So fine, let it be left up to the Chachamim to determine with logic which of those is more important than the other. And then we would say that particular one needs Prisha for 7 days. So why don't we do that? Why instead are we saying L'chaper specifically means Yom Kippur and not any of the other regalim? Okay, the Gemara says you're right. Ella done in Prishas Shiva LeYamechad mit Prishas Shiva LeYamechad. Rather, what we're going to do is we're going to learn. If we're going to learn from the word lachaper by the miluim that it means Yom Kippurim, then it means we're going to learn a case like over there where you separate for 7 days. They had to be Pesach Oyo Moed for 7 days liyom echad to prepare for 1 day for Bayom Hashmini when they're going to be doing the special korbanos. Well, we're going to learn Yom Kippur, where you're separating for 7 days for the avodah of 1 day, from the miluim, where you also have the same kind of arrangement. 7 days of prisha and 1 day of special avodah. The end done in prishas shiva l'shiva, miprishas shiva l'yemechad. On the other hand, Sukkos and Pesach are each 7 days. So you can't learn that you should need prisha for 7 days in order to do avodah for 7 days from the miluim. It's not the same kind of thing. Okay, so the Gemara says ve'ema shmini. Fine, maybe it means you need 7 days of prisha for the avoda of shmini atzeres, the prisha shivul yemechad. Because after all, there you have shmini atzeres is a 1 day yomtiv in Eretz Yisrael, and you should have 7 days of preparation before it, which would be exactly the same as the miluim. The Gemara says, but there's a different difference. Don in davar she'ein kedusha lafanav, mi davar she'ein kedusha lafanav. If we're going to learn something, it's going to be something that didn't have any kedusha before it from something else that didn't have any kedusha before it, namely with the miluim. The 8th day, the Yom HaShmini, the days before it were not yomtiv. They were the days of the Miluim, but they were the days of preparation. In other words, they themselves were not the days with Kedusha. Now, obviously, during those 7 days of the Shabbos, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about Tosfos says the Kedusha of yomtiv. So therefore we have to do the same thing with Yom Kippur, where you have 1 day of Kedusha, where you don't have before it 7 days of Kedusha of Yom Tov. The ain't done in davar she'esh kedusha lafanav. You're not going to learn something which has Kedusha before it, namely Shmini Atzeres, where you have 7 days of Sukkos before it from something that doesn't have Kedusha before it. So therefore we can't say that we're learning that we're learning from Miluim to Shmini Atzeres, that you should need Prisha 7 days before Shmini Atzeres. Okay, but the Gemara says, why? V'lav kavachomer hu. If you're going to argue like that, shouldn't it be a kavachomer? Hash the davar she'ein kedusha lafon of boy prisha madach with Yom Kippur and with the miluim, where you didn't even have kedusha before. You didn't even have days of kedusha before it. And yet it's so important that it requires 7 days of prisha. Davar she'esh kedusha lafon of like koshekin. How much more so than Shemini Atzeres, where the days before it themselves are kaddish? Maybe all the more so you should need prisha because of that. The answer is Amar Mesharshia loy hazeksi. No, because the pasuk doesn't say kasher osa bayoyim. It says kasher osa bayoyim hazeh, as you did on this day, meaning in preparation for this day of miluim. So therefore, that means kozeh, it has to be exactly like that. In other words, the word hazeh is telling you don't try to do that zedush, don't try to do that kavachomer. Realize that it means it has to be with this kedusha and no kedusha before it. Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Ashi gives a different answer. There's a logical reason to slug up that kavachomer. Me ikamidi ikar regal like boy prisha tuffle today boy prisha. What are you going to have? What's the logic? The main regal, the main yomtiv of sukkah shouldn't require prisha in order to do the avoda. And then all of a sudden Shemini Atzeres, which is only an appendage to sukkah, all of a sudden should need prisha. It's not logical. So for that reason alone, we should understand that. That it's not meant to refer to Shmini Atzeres. And Vafilu Lamanda Oma Shmini Rega Bufnei Atzmehu, even according to the opinion that says that that Shmini Atzeres is considered a yomtiv of its own. Now, what do we mean according to the opinion? Everybody agrees to that. As the Gemara is going to mention a bunch of different differences between Shmini Atzeres and other yomtovim. So the Shagas Arya has a pirush on Yoma called Dvoras Ari. He explains what it means is there is a machloikus in the Gemara and Sukkah whether you say Shech Yonu on Shmini Atzeres. So the Gemara over here is hinting at that machloikus. Given that you have a machloikus, whether you say Shech Yonu, the halacha is that you do, therefore it's considered regal b'fnei atzmai. But so fine, Shmini Atzeres is considered regal b'fnei atzmai. Hanei mili le'inin pezar kashav. That's only regarding the six things. There are six things in which Shmini Atzeres is different than the rest of Sukkos. The pay stands for pious, because in the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara at the end of Sukkah explain that throughout Sukkos you had a large number of korbanos. You didn't need a pious to determine which mishmar is going to be bringing which korbanos. It was a fixed thing. You're going to have on the first day 13 mishmaros are going to be bringing the 13 bulls, and two mishmaros are going to be bringing the elim, and so forth. And it was a known thing that every day you're going to have all 24 mishmaros doing the avodah. Shmini Atzeres, though, you only have 10 korbanos, so they had to make a pious to determine which mishmaros are going to be the ones to do the avodah. That's the pay. The Zion stands for zman, that you say Shech Yonu. The Reish is regal, that it's considered a yomtiv of its own. Rashi over here explains that it means that it's not called Sukkos, it's called by a different name. It's called Shmini Atzeres. In davening and in Kiddush, we say Shmini Atzeres Achagazeh. Tosfos brings over here from Rashi elsewhere that says it's also regal b'fnei atzmai in the sense that we don't sit in the sukkah. Now we sit in the sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, in Chutz La'aretz, but that's because of Sveika D'Yoma. The Iker thing is you don't have to sit in the sukkah Shmini Atzeres on a daraisa level. That's the resh. The kuf is korban la'atzmai. It's a new type of korban. Throughout sukkahs, you have a pattern of korbanos. Bayim harishon, you have 13 parim, and the next day you have 12, and the next day 11, and so on and so forth. But Shmini Atzeres, you don't. You just have parechod ayel echod. So it's a different pattern of korbanos. The shin stands for shir la'atzmai. You have a different shir on Shmini Atzeres than you have throughout Yom Tov. Rashi explains that the theme of the shir shoyim throughout every day of Sukkos was about gezel matnas aniyim. That's the time when everybody is bringing in their harvest, which was drying in the field all summer. It's also the time when people are harvesting their grapes and other crops like that. So this is the time to be giving truma and maaser and maaser oni in certain years. So therefore they had shir shoyim every day of Sukkos that reflected this theme of be careful to not steal from the aniyim. But Shmini Atzeres, you have a completely different one. Rashi says it doesn't say what the one of Shmini Atzeres is. Tosfos brings from Masechta Sofrim that in Shul they had the minhag to say Lamnatzeach al Hashminis, which is Kapitul Yud Beis. So maybe that's the same one that they did in the Beis Hamikdash for Shmini Atzeres as well. whatever the case, so it had a shear of its own. And the beis stands for bracha la'atzmai, which there's a few different explanations. Rashi over here says that what it means is that they would give the king a bracha on Shmini Atzeres because they're getting ready. The next day they're going to be returning home after the 7 days of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres, so they would give a special bracha to the king. Tosfos discusses at some length over here other possibilities of what some of these letters mean. In particular, bracha may mean that, like what we said before about the regel b'fnei atzmai, that it means that you say a different bracha, that you say shmini atzeres achagazeh rather than sukkos. Tosfos also discusses regel b'fnei atzmai can mean that you need lina, you need to stay over an extra night in Yerushalayim before we leave. Whatever the case, the point is, so as far as those six things, Shmini Atzeres is a yom tov of its own. Avala in tashlumin, but when it comes to making up for the korbanos, the olas re'iyah, and the shamay chagiga that you're supposed to bring during yom tov, tashlumin derishin. We know that Shmini Atzeres is like an appendage to Sukkos. You can still have tashlumin on that day for the korbanos you didn't bring on the first day. Da'atnan, we learn in a Mishnah. Whoever did not bring us chagiga on the first day of Yom Tov, he can continue to bring it any time during the Yom Tov, the Yom Tov Achon Shochag, as well as Shmini Atzeres. So in that sense, Shmini Atzeres is like an appendage to Sukkos. So therefore, if Ashi is saying, the logic would tell us then, going back to what we're talking about Prisha, there's no logical reason to say that during Sukkos itself, you shouldn't need Prisha in order, 7 days of Prisha, in order to bring the Korbanos of Sukkos, but then all of a sudden to bring the Korbanos on Shmini Atzeres, which in that sense is like an appendage to Sukkos, all of a sudden you should need Prisha. It's not logical. So for that reason, we can't say, even though it's true that Shmini Atzeres is one day like Yom Kippur and like the eighth day of the Miluim, you still can't say that it means that you should need 7 days of Prisha before it. And since, again, we can't be Pesach or Sukkos, because those are 7 days each and it has to be one day, then therefore that leaves us by elimination with it has to be Yom Kippur. And we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with the obvious question, what about Shavuos? So we'll continue that discussion, how we figure out when you need Prisha and when you don't.
Shikayach.